You must figure I'm a real dangerous man.
Join that sexy thing for living way out here on the Survival Circle Network. Yep, Amy's back on weeknights except Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time with an hour of trivia, fun, and interesting stories. Join her for living way out here. Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we going to put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench, and we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
Alrighty, here we are, and welcome to The Shooting Bench, the 30th of April, last day of the cotton picking month already, and it's a Thursday. Thursday is typically dedicated to guns, militia, survival, preparedness, other tomfoolery of different kinds, so we'll kind of bounce around a little bit. We do have some militia things to talk about. Let me go see what we got in the chat room before we get started here. Looks like we got a bunch of our regulars in there. Let's see. Partisan Grill is starting to be a regular fixture. Sporterizen's back with us. We have Cowgirl and, you know, I don't know how to pronounce that. Matt Calathon or whatever. I've seen that name in here before. It's been a while. We're getting some anonymous coming in there. 3, 4, 5. So, anyway. Good to see you guys in here tonight. Hopefully we can make it worth your while to stop in here for a bit. And actually, I'm assuming that Matt, you know, I don't know how in the world to say that. Matt Calthon, I guess. I'm assuming that him and Cowgirl has got to be a happening thing there or something. That's my scientific guess. Okay, we've got had a couple of issues going on, and I think you've seen the amount of things that are going on in Baltimore. I'm not even gonna go there too much tonight, but I'll tell you, there's more to this than meets the eye. We're starting to see. I read some things to Amy today, and it seems that the district attorney there is married to one of the councilmen that promoted the looting to start with, that told the cops to stand down. And so that's, you know, and Amy said, she just looked at me with this amazed look, like I just strangled a puppy or something, and said, I cannot believe the amount of corruption. And I said, you know, it's not the type of corruption that we had with Watergate and some of the things that went on, you know, in the 60s, 70s, 80s. What we're seeing now is much, much worse. And absolutely, there's just no accountability. There's no, we see things that are, I guess the difference is that this is thrown out in, Cawthon, okay. Cawthon, gotcha. Matt Cawthon, I guess. We're seeing now, maybe it may be the same level of corruption, but now it's just thrown in our face every day. And the funny thing about it is that absolutely nothing is done about it. It's swept under the rug. It's not even swept under the rug. It's just left out there to fester and stink, and everybody just sees it, and nobody thinks anything about it. The amount of illegal things that we see, yeah, long slave it is. It's mafia-type corruption, but they don't even make any attempt to hide it. They lie. they cheat, they do this, some of the stupidest things that, and it just, and it means nothing. And I am just floored, flabbergasted every day at the level of corruption that we see in government at all levels, from the dog catcher to the president of the United States, or that person. Hang on just a minute here. It looks like, let's see here. Hello.
Hey, Kurt.
Yes, sir.
This is Paul out of Phoenix. Hey. Have a question for you if you have time.
Well, we'll take time. How'd you get this number?
I've seen you a couple times, and you told me if I ever had any questions, give you a call.
Well, you couldn't have picked a better time. It depends on what you want to question me about. What's going on tonight?
Well, I'm a little concerned. I see a lot of things going on, and it's a little concerning, disconcerting to me about what's happening in the world today. Can you help me with that?
Well, you know, there is a lot of things going on, and I think the worst thing that's happening right now are people are at all levels here are seeing some of these things on the news and all over Facebook, and they see it and they just absolutely freak out as soon as they see it. And it is concerning. There's no question that something is going on. But, you know, I'd offer you a couple of suggestions here. One, a lot of the things that we're seeing, if they're true, we have absolutely no recourse at this time. I mean, if people are not willing to actually go to war, then, you know, the petitions and the voting and the griping in public and all that doesn't account for anything. So if there's things that concern you, I would look at trying to, you know, prepare your household as much as possible for the things that you think may be coming on. And, you know, you might think about trying to, get a group of people together and see if you can get some common, what would you call it? Common protection, some, excuse me, with the, you know, people with the same goals and the same issues there, and see if you can get a little bit of, you know, strength in numbers there a little bit. But as far as the things that are happening, well, it's everywhere. I mean, we've got so many things happening right now. It's unbelievable. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I cut you off there.
No, I was going to say, that's one of the things I wanted to ask you about, because I guess there's no other easy way to say it, but I would like to, you know, find a militia or start a group of militia, and I really just don't know how to go about it. Is there any pointers you can throw my way?
Well, without spending a whole lot of time on it, we went through this extensively about a month or so ago, but you don't need to no easy way to say it. Just say it, man. Be proud. Don't worry about ticking anybody, especially not on this show. I think we're doing okay on that count. But you know, I just to go through this kind of briefly, you can get go get three or four or five, you know, however many people you can get together and get them all set down and see what your goals are, see what your thoughts are. Sit down and get them together and say, well, do we want to do this? There are certainly some risks, however mild or moderate that there may be, I mean, that they may be, to getting involved in a group like that. But it ain't because of the name. It's because there are people that are getting together and standing up. It don't matter what you call yourself. People can kind of steer away from that word militia. But, you know, just if you're going to do it, just do it. you got to figure out what your common goals and stuff are. And I would sit down and what I would not do is sit down and get everybody all worked up with a bunch of crap that you read on Facebook. You know, there are some very real issues going on out there, and that's fine. I understand that. But, you know, looking at the overall picture, yes, we have a lot of things going on. What are we going to do to protect ourselves and our country and our families? And don't sit there and spend all night worrying about, you know, black helicopters and trains full of, you know, people have been complaining about these trains full of equipment for, 20 years. And, you know, it's a matter of sending this equipment either to places where they train, places where they fix it, places where they, you know, do whatever with it. But, you know, there are a lot going on right now, and there's a lot traveling to places where we don't know where they're going. So there may be something to it. But what if there is? What are you going to do? You gonna jump on the train and follow it and see where it's going and come back and get on Facebook and tell everybody where it went? Just don't worry about it. Worry about the things that could be going on, but don't strain your milk over it so bad that you lose track of the, you know, keep your eye on the ball there and keep track of what's going on. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. It makes a lot of sense because that's all you ever hear is people worrying about what's happening, because I've said the same thing. If that's happening, we can't stop it anyway. Yeah, I have a concern about a militia. I've talked to a couple groups, and some groups, they're really just organized preppers, and that's not what I want. And some groups, you've got people running it that, you know, don't know what they're doing, so I don't want to get into that. How do you get somebody in it when you get a starter group? How do you find somebody that's a natural leader of the group?
You know,
that's qualified, I guess.
That's kind of hard to do until you're able to spend some time with them. You know, you sit down and they, you know, there should be, if you're thinking about joining something, there should probably be some type of an interview process that you go through. And you're going to sit down and talk about, they're going to ask you about if you're, do you have problems with different races? Do you have problems with different religions? You know, this, that, and the other. And if they spend all their time trying to impress you with their qualifications and what you're doing and what they do, then, you know, it may not be, you may want to sit back and think about it a little bit and see how they conduct themselves. You know, people that are natural, that are leaders and logical, common sense type, non-ego driven people, they're not going to sit there and spend all day trying to convince you that they're all that in a bag of chips, you know, that they're Billy Badass from Vietnam or wherever and try to convince you that they are the Rambo of the community, you know what I mean? And when they start in on that, you know, you might want to look around a little bit before you commit. You know? At least that's my opinion. Anyway.
No, I've seen that exactly, and that's why I wanted to ask you. I've seen you speak a couple times. Are you going to be anywhere in the area, you know, close to Arizona? Are you going to speak again soon?
I don't think I have anything going. We've got, you know, I'm doing some seminars locally for the local community and stuff, and I try to encourage people to do that kind of thing for people that are you know, qualified and you know, that know what to do, and go out there and try to help your communities by talking about some of the problems that are going on. How do you protect yourself from different things? How do you, you know, food storage, communications, you know, different types of topics like that, and see transportation in the event of an EMP and this different types of things like that. And then it's I think it's useful to the community because there's so many people out there that just have absolutely no clue. And the only thing I would say is if you plan on doing that or know somebody that is, just make sure that you have some idea of what you're talking about, and don't mislead them, and don't try to convince them that you're something that you're not. And it'll all run pretty well, because however unknowledgeable you may be, you can be sure that there are dozens of people in your area that's even more so. So anything that you can do to help is not a bad thing. But if you're going to do this, get your group together, your few guys together, excuse me again, and sit down and figure out, you know, the people that get out there and say, okay, I'm going to start this thing and I'm going to be the little general and everybody's going to fall in under me. I would be very leery of those. I would suggest, or at least the way we have done it, is that you get some people together, spend some time together, figure out where you're, you know, who's got the leadership qualities, and then you vote. My good friend Bob Wright said that, a militia is a democracy one time, and then it becomes a benevolent dictatorship, where, you know, which is pretty much what the military is. And they, Sporterizing, yes, I have a copy of that book. I've got it. I know the guy. Well, I don't know him really. I've talked to him on the phone, but yeah, I know the guy that wrote it. But so when you get that decided on, then typically that person usually, and not because of any reason other than it's just kind of tradition, just kind of a standard, then typically that person will become a colonel. Because there's little way for him to earn promotions and stuff if he's the top guy. You don't usually want to start anybody out as a general. That's a little over the top. But, you know, I do know some currently that are majors that are in leadership, the highest leadership position. And that's fine. Captain's fine. But typically, traditionally, you know, the guy that does that usually is a colonel. And then you decide how you're going to do. You sit down with those same people and you get some rules and regulations together. And once you do that, and it may take you a little while to do that, you know, you address certain things that are that you feel like is going to come up. You might ask some other groups or other leaders if you know any that can help you with some of the topics, you know, for your rules and regulations. Once you get those in there and you get them in place and everybody agrees on it, then you need to stick with them. If there's a change in the rules and regulations, then you need to, it needs to be, you don't just wake up one day and say, well, I think I need to change this and change one page. And you need to get, your top guys together again and say, you know, we're running into some problems here and we probably need to adjust this now before it becomes more than we can deal with, and get those rules put together. And they apply to everybody. That's going to be the important thing. Is that they have to apply to each and every individual there. In those rules and regulations, there should be provisions to remove the leader. Now those prevail, of course, there's a certain process that you have to go through and everything. You can't just get the guys together and say, no, we're tired of you being here. We're going to take it over. We can run it better. Oh, okay, if you're going to do that, well, what you do is you quit and you go start your own group and you leave me alone and we'll just keep on doing what we're doing here. But there should be a procedure to go through so that the leader can be removed if that's the case. Now, there has to be a provision there for appeal so that he can say his part and all of that, but the provisions should still be there. And as far as the guys, well, you know, this guy, he's a good guy. He's got good intentions. You know, they say that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. There needs to be you know, there may have to be some adjustments made and figure out how you're going to how you're gonna run all this. There's a lot of trial and error, and you know, if you can find a reputable group around that you can get some hints and ideas from, it'll sure save you a lot of heartache. We've been doing ours for I guess we're going on close to 17 years now, and and I didn't just up and decide that I was going to do this. You know, it was a majority vote, and actually to begin with, I was actually appointed by someone that was over me when I was in another state. And then as that thing, you know, some things changed during that period of time, there were 3 or 4 years there, and the original group kind of dissolved and the main guy moved, and I wound up kind of inheriting the top position there. And then when I moved into Arizona, a couple of those people came with me, and we just kind of continued on in the same manner that we were in the other state. So that's kind of how we've done ours. And then you'll figure out a type of a rank structure. You know, how are you going to? Everybody can't be the same. It just does not work. You can have your rank structure and have what you can call everybody, whatever you want to call them, but it needs to be set in such a way that there's room and set regulations for advancement, for disciplinary measures, and all this. You are, in fact, a paramilitary organization, and you have to have a certain amount of discipline and organization there to make this work. It works fine as long as you're sitting around in somebody's living room in an easy chair watching a football game. Believe me, I've seen that happen. But if you're actually out training and doing things and assigning responsibilities and expecting people to hold up in hostile environment, then you have to have some form of a rank structure in there. So at least that's the way that we do it. If you have any additional activities of anything, of any kind, then, you know, we have in our group, we have what is considered an auxiliary group. And that group are the ones that takes care of, you know, they do things to help with, you know, food storage, and, they set up camp and they fix meals and they take care of transportation and they do things that, you know, sometimes they have physical challenges and things that keeps them from doing what everybody else does. They may be overweight, they may be crippled up, they may be whatever the case may be. Maybe they just don't want to, and that's fine. And that group would fall under the main group, but would be headed up by its own I wouldn't call him commander exactly, but you know, people throw that word commander around way too freely. But maybe a you know, the NCOIC, a non-commissioned officer in charge, or something like that. I mean, whatever. And they should have their own type of deal. Need to have. And those two activities should not really be interrelated other than they meet when they come back to camp and they do everything, but the one organization, the one entity has their job that they do and they take care of it, and the other one takes care of theirs. And we've done real well with that for the last, actually we started the auxiliary stuff about 4 years ago. And it has worked out really well for us. So I've talked all this time and haven't allowed you to say a cotton picking word. Are you even still with me?
Yeah, I am. I really appreciate your time. I mean, you kind of enlightened me on everything. Just a side note before I get off the air with you here is you talked about seminars, and I don't know if there's a big enough seminar and enough people together that could help Phoenix. So I don't know what to do on that deal.
Well, there's, you know, I do public seminars or public, what I call public presentations
for militia, for recruiting purposes from time to time. And, you know, over the years, I figured out, I started doing these back in, probably 1999, maybe 2000. And, you have to be careful how you approach people. You absolutely cannot expect to get anything out of people if you go up there and start ringing your bell and telling everybody how awesome you are and all the stuff that you've done, and they don't care. And the more people you tell that stuff, the more people you're going to lose. What they want to know is what the some of the legalities and the legitimacy of the militia, some of the laws that you that may be relevant to being involved with a militia. And they don't care that you were in the 10th Special Forces in Panama for so many years and you had scalps hanging off your belt and all that. It doesn't matter. That's the last thing that they care about. If somebody asks a question concerning something like that, you address it briefly, get to the point, get off of it. And if you drag it out and start spending all the time telling them what an awesome individual you are, what a Superman Rambo you are, then you're going to lose them. And I've had excellent luck with that. We've had we'll get anywhere from 15 to 50 people. I had close to 50 people in a little town in New Mexico one time, and we picked up like 4 guys out of it. You know, you can't expect to recruit everybody in there. A lot of them are there strictly for out of curiosity. They have no intention of doing anything, but they say, wow, militia in my town. I'm going to go check this out. And it's fun. And it's never wasted, because those people will leave there and they'll think about it and they'll say, yeah, I can see where that would have its merit. And they'll talk to their friends and maybe you got some business cards or something out there and maybe they'll try to get a hold of you. And so it's never wasted. There's always information that's put out that may make the circle and come back to you at some point. So does that make some sense to you?
Yeah, it does. It does make sense, and that's how I got your number. So, I mean, that was probably over a year ago.
Okay, well, cool.
Yeah, that's how it works. All right, sir, I appreciate your time, and good luck to you, and good luck to everybody out there.
You bet. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. All right, there we go. And we're way past our break time, so we're going to go take a little break here, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
That's what I said. James is darn good. But he's better, and I'm better than both of them. No brag, just fact.
Criminals prefer an unarmed public. Our nation's worst crime statistics and most horrific recent events have taken place in areas that are known to be no-carry zones for law-abiding citizens. There's a reason schools make such good targets for gun violence. Only the criminal will be armed.
I had to chuckle because then I noticed he had Mr. Brady up here, who was hit not with an assault weapon but with a .22 caliber revolver. So getting beyond that.
It's about the weapons, the guns. Where did the killer get them?
They're shocked at how easy it is to purchase a gun.
It is simply too easy to obtain a firearm.
While the gun is considered an instrument of war by many, to me, it is clearly an instrument of peace and of liberty. The gun promotes peace in the hands of peaceful people. The gun has no mind of its own, it has no morals, and it has no conscience. In the same moment that the gun takes a life, it can be saving one and not be able to distinguish the difference. The gun and its use, for good or for evil, is solely at the discretion of its bearer.
It took me a good 45 seconds to realize that this man wasn't there to commit a robbery. He wasn't there for a hit. He was there to simply shoot as many people as he possibly could.
The gun levels the playing field when confronted by larger men, armed men, multiple attackers, and tyrannical governments. The right of self-preservation, the right to possess that gun, was afforded me by my maker and is non-negotiable. It is not up for consideration or discussion by any man or group of men on this earth. The right to bear arms is what protects my other rights, and considering the source of that right, it cannot and will not be taken away or disguised as some watered-down compromise. Few rights that man is born with, and it has been that way since the dawn of time. The Constitution of the United States enumerates those rights for us, and the protection that it affords us is comforting. However, the Constitution has been ignored, gagged, whisked away to an office full of men that have taken pleasure in violating her, leaving her torn and bleeding, unable to help herself. People that were appointed stewards over her have been neglectful. They have been lured into complacency and have inadvertently turned a blind eye towards this criminal act. We, the people, have been distracted. We were promised safety and protection by the very men that have perpetrated this vile deed. Without the support and protection of free men, dedicated, patriotic Americans, the Constitution is truly nothing more than a piece of paper.
Remember real clear years ago in the swamps of South Georgia? Cane pole and crossman in my hands, all I needed to be. And the family on Friday nights, 10-lane ram on Saturday, right before the morning light. Came a time I was old enough and I learned about the gun. And every night at supper time, I answered to what I'd done. Hooks today, but forgot about the way it used to be. They got no respect and no cold steel, just games on TV. A burning hell before I sailed. It's high time we embrace the tool that keeps all men free.
We have a message for those that would take our guns away, whomever they may be. From whatever country, or whatever unconstitutional faction they may belong to, please understand that we have had everything taken from us that we are willing to surrender. Some of us have been shooting since before many of you were born. Many of us were trained by the same people that trained you, and some of us, through years of experience, know tricks that they haven't taught you yet. Think of your families and your future with them as we have done. We have decided that our future and that of our children cannot and will not be without freedom. We are willing to die to defend those God-given rights if need be. The question that each of you must ask yourselves, are you willing to die to take them away?
From Hillary Clinton, from Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, from a whole gaggle of numbnuts who would try to tell me they will dictate where, how, and if I can defend myself. I find that preposterous. I find it unacceptable, and I will not accept it. I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
We'll be right back. Okay, are you ready? Here's Colt Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me there.
Okay, well, I said we were kind of look at this from a different angle tonight, and I wasn't expecting that phone call, but it worked out okay. We were able to get some information out for somebody that's wanting to do it, so we got some new folks in there, so hopefully it wasn't time wasted. And but I'll tell you something else that let's see, Edge of the Woods, that's kind of where I was going with the rest of the show here, is how to get Eunice to talk to you. And I'll say, between Edge of the Woods and I, we managed to get three different units together, working together, and I think that is a wonderful thing, because there was very little ego to deal with there. We had people that were wanting to do the right thing, wanting to make a difference, and not really caring so much who was the chief cook and bottle washer, as long as the bottles got washed. And so that worked out real well. Now, what we've... communication is a beautiful thing, and it's hard to... You know, we talked a little bit about this. There's a lot of type A personalities when you start dealing with militia, and people have their own little groups put together, and they don't want... they don't want to give up any of the things that they do, and they've got their whatever. And so it's really hard to just, they've got money put into it. That's not what it's about. You may lose a few bucks. You haven't really lost it. It's just going to kind of be spent going in a different direction. So big deal. So you lose a few bucks, but in the overall scheme of things, you're getting people together that can make a difference. If I could have a small group of, you know, 5, 6, 7 people, and we find another group of 5, 6, 7 people, and we can sit down and talk and say, you know what, y'all ain't half bad folks. We kind of got the same ideas. Can we do this this away and kind of spend some time hashing it out? And now all of a sudden you have 10, 12, 15 people just with a matter of being able to communicate and talk a little bit and keep the ego stuffed. And that is a difficult thing to do. That is the single biggest problem in the militia is egos. Everybody wants to brag about, everything that they've done and how cool they are and all the places they've been and all that. You know, we don't care. Shut up. What we care about is, do you value the principles set forth in the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of your state above virtually everything except God and your family? And even your family, and I get chastised for this every time that I mention it, but, you know, and we've had people, we had some little dork abandon us under fire here, or almost under fire up there in Bundy Ranch, because he got to see in the reality of what could possibly happen. And he said, you know, I've got a family. I've got responsibilities. I'm out of Vagisil. I got to go. And he did. Packed up his stuff and drove off. And that was it. And it ultimately wound up in a bit of a coup taking place there. And not really, because... we didn't want them anyway. Once we found out what they were made of, then it just saved us from running them off. And Mountain Shooter, you know, that kind of depends. Mountain Shooter says the units in Maine don't necessarily have the same goals as ones in Arizona. Well, if they don't, they need to, because the goals are to defend and protect and support the Constitution. Defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That is the goal. When we're not doing things that are related to national security, then we should be concerned with keeping those same principles and things in mind. We should be trying to help our communities in whatever way. We don't go out there and take charge. We say, you know, I've gone by, they don't even have to know who you are. But the conversation may come up. I stopped one time in Battle Mountain, Nevada, just driving down the road. Matter of fact, I just got off work. I was going home. And I saw a guy out there with some boards and a pallet and stuff, trying to get a refrigerator loaded up in the truck by himself. You know, instead of just laughing and driving on, I stopped my truck and went out there and helped him slide it up in there. And we wound up talking a little bit. Now, that was before I got involved in the militia, but we did talk about that type of things. And if I would have been involved in militia, that would have been an ideal time to bring it up. So, and one more thing that I want to make sure that everybody understands that's listening, and make sure that you make everybody else understand this. The militia is absolutely, let me back up a little bit. The legitimate constitutional militia is absolutely not anti-government. That is not what we're about. We are anti-tyranny. We are anti-corruption in government. And if you are worth your salt at all, then your biggest concern should be that, maybe your biggest goal, I should say, is that we would somehow be able to work with law enforcement, that we would work with military. Now, they may say, okay, well, we're the ones that's going to go out and shoot people and break things and everything else, and we want you to make sure that these gates stay shut, or this road doesn't get blocked, or, you know, that's fine. I don't care. If we can offer things in traffic control, crowd control, search and rescue, things like that, and allow the others that are trained and prepared and getting paid for that kind of thing to go and do it, then I don't have a problem with that. As long as there's two stipulations. As long as our orders are constitutional and that our chain of command is recognized. Other than that, and you're you know, I mean, we're not gonna spend the whole summer cleaning latrines either. You know, that's not what I'm getting at. But we also don't have to be the ones in charge. We don't have to be the ones charging up the hill into a blazing 50 up there. We're just gonna we will do what we are called upon to do, and there may be a point when we have to call upon ourselves because may not be recognized by the authorities. But, you know, we do whatever it takes. It is important to know, and Edge of the Woods says right here, and that's a fact, is we are not offensive. We are here to defend our homes, families, communities, neighborhoods, our counties, our state, and our country. Now, if that requires that you pack up and go to another state to help, well, that's kind of what happened at Bundy Ranch. You know, a whole bunch of people packed up and went to another state to help because they were mad. that this stuff was going on. And there's this whole type of, you know, LB Sand, you may not see that in your area, but you will see it in ours. Either you don't have any militia there or you don't have any that's worth a damn, because that's exactly what we plan to do if we're allowed to. If we're not allowed to, then that's fine. That's their loss, not ours. But we actually ran a fundraiser with a I've still got the newspaper clippings from it, with a Reserve Sheriff's Department in McKinley County, New Mexico. And it was great. It was a little standoffish there for a little bit, you know. But, you know, after a couple of hours of out there, it was a turkey shoot, and we was out there goofing around and cooking and carrying on, and it wound up being a good time. Both sides made some money, and it worked out really well. And if that department can do it, I would think that most any other department would be able to do it as well. So, talking about rank structure and stuff a while ago. There is a contingent of people out there. Most of them are former military. And, they get mad when they find out that we are, it seems like we have absconded with their rank and their insignia and stuff. What are we to do? Do we call each other, star troopers or what? You know, the thing has been organized. There's lots of different organizations that use, sergeant, corporal, you know, so on and so forth. And we are one of those organizations. It is, you know, it needs to be something. And they, since there's a possibility at some point, worst case scenario, when everything goes to hell, we may in fact be working side by side with National Guard, reserves, maybe even active duty military. And if we do, don't you think it would save a lot of confusion and stuff if we all just kind of adopted the same type of thing? Now, there'll be some privileges and benefits and whatnot that probably we would not be privy to. But we might, too, once they find out that we can, that we are a, I say we, meaning the militia in general, are beneficial to the overall scheme of things, then I think that we will be recognized for the rank that we hold. And I think that'll all just kind of work itself out without a whole lot of problems. So, I was reading the Catron County is a great place to be. If I could make a living there, and if I ever get to a point, if I win the lottery or something, you can bet your sweet bippy, and I'll be right back over there around Luna. I would move back over there in a heartbeat, but I'm gonna have to take like a pretty good sized wheelbarrow full of cash with me to stay there very long. But anyway. All right. Well, we're right up against the wire here, and hopefully we didn't waste your time here and got some of the things were interesting to you and squared away. So there's, you know, in the last, 3, 4, 5 months, we have spent a considerable amount of time on militia and communications and operational security and, you know, such things as that. And I'm hoping it's just a timely topic right now. It's a time when, Those are the types of things, and we get new people. When we get several new people in, we may wind up doing it again. Because this is primarily, we are an education, we try to be an educational show. Edge of the Woods, that's awesome to hear, buddy. I'm glad to hear that. So, I'm hoping that everybody understands where we're going with that right now. So, all right. Well, we're going to kind of duck under the wire here and squeeze out. Let me see if we got anything in the chat room we need to address here real quick. Cowgirl, I hope my wife would never say that to me, because that may wind up being an ugly thing there. But anyway, she likes Catron County as much as I do. If we had the funds, it would be we wouldn't mind going back there at all. C7, well, we did the best we could there. Roger's got a sheriff in Texas there that is or was militia, so that's cool. The C7, boy, I'll ban you from this chat room if you start talking like that. So, anyway. All right. Well, it looks like everything's going fine. All right. I think we got everything taken care of. All right, I'm scooting out of here. We'll see you tomorrow. For those of you that are new, Friday nights we kind of steer away from the politics and stuff a little bit. There may be a story or two thrown in, but we try not to ruin your weekend with it. Most of it is classic country music. We have a time or two done in classic rock, and we did a gospel thing one time, did truck driving music one time. But we just kind of have fun. You know, we talk a lot, and everybody just reminisces and kind of gets geared up and ready for the weekend without blood in their eye and gravel in their gut here because of all the politics. So Friday night we wind down, and then we try hard to ruin your entire week as quickly as possible on Monday nights. We're on from 8 to 9 Eastern time. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then Friday, it's a two-hour show from 8 to 10 Eastern time. Amy's on an hour before that, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. She is not on at all Wednesday. And I think what's going to happen on Wednesday nights, I told you guys I would have an answer for you. I lied. I have not had the time. Amy was gone all day today. So tomorrow night I will have an answer as to what is going to happen on Wednesday nights. Wednesday we have a conflict, and I don't want to give Wednesday up. We may start 30 minutes later. I don't know. But we will have an answer for you beyond. Amy is here now. I'm going to talk to her about it tonight. And I will have an answer for you tomorrow night, absolutely without fail. So don't forget to join me for the shooting bench for Liberty Lounge at 8 Pacific tomorrow night. Good night.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of the Shooting Bench. Please join Cope Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. If there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. There is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.